Thank you for being with us. It's Thanksgiving weekend. We hope you had a good holiday weekend. And if it wasn't so good, we're glad that we're able to spend some time together and that you can rely on us to be with you regardless. Also, we know you might have company this week, or maybe you're visiting people. Thank you for keeping our tradition of being together on Saturday morning alive. Another tradition we have is showcasing talented youth in this hour of SLV. And today, it's always fun to have siblings. And in this case, they have something in common, namely, they created original works. We'll talk about those in a moment. But I'm going to ask if you could please introduce yourself. Tell us perhaps where you are school-wise and your age. And if you have any shout-outs or hellos, this is the perfect time to do it. Rocco, do you want to start?
Yeah. Hi. I'm Rocco, and I currently am a freshman enrolled at Pitt. I just graduated high school last spring, so it's been a big adjustment past couple of months.
Do you have a major yet?
No, I'm still completely undecided.
It's so. One of the great things about Pitt is, depending on what you want to do, you can spend some time figuring it out. Are you living there or commuting?
No, I'm commuting back and forth. Saves a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, it sure does. What's been difficult about the transition, do you think? Just challenging or something you didn't expect?
You know, there's a lot less pressure and a lot more pressure at the same time. There's a lot of ways where, you know, you're late to class. Oh, okay, just go in. It's not a whole, okay, you've been late four times this week. We got to send you to the office. And but, you know, there's a lot of that kind of responsibility of, you know, you're holding yourself accountable instead of these outside structures holding you.
That's a great observation. So you need to regulate yourself and be responsive. It's almost like those constraints are gone. You could just blow off all your classes if you chose to. I don't think you would do that. Do you have any older siblings?
No, it's just us.
So you're setting the example. I is the youngest. I sort of had a sense of what to do talking with my brothers who also went to college, but that took me a bit. Any acknowledgments or hellos you'd like to say?
We got our parents out in the lobby.
Well, that's good.
I don't think we can't see them through the window, but
Aaron and Nancy, are you there? They're there. They're waving. So you know them as mom and dad. Well, let's go to Lucia. I'll let you do the same thing.
Hi, I'm Lucia. I go to Kappa, and I'm in seventh grade. I'm an instrumental.
And do you have any shout-outs you'd like to make?
Not really.
Now, I'm curious, just as we were talking about transitions, when did you start at Kappa?
I started at Kappa last year.
And do you have any recommendations for somebody that might be starting this year to get through that difference? Because Kappa is a different place.
Yeah, I would just say keep up on your work. Don't get behind or you'll get more behind.
Makes sense. Where did you go before Kappa?
I went to Banksville.
Okay. So, and Kappa is the Creating and Performing Arts High School at Pittsburgh Public Schools, middle and high school. So that's that acronym. So each of you created something out of nothing, just your brain. And in one case, a story. And in one case, music, do I have that right? And why don't we start with you, Lucia? Tell me about what you created And I'm just really curious.
So I created a comic book. It's called Cookie and Nugget, The Origin Story. The reason it's called The Origin Story is because we had two hamsters named Cookie and Nugget. And one day in second grade, I was just kind of like, hey, what if I made them into superheroes? And so I did multiple poor grammar, little books of them having multiple adventures.
And you started writing these back when you were in second grade?
I started writing in general around kindergarten.
That's amazing. And I had hamsters a lot when I was a kid. And, well, I'll just ask, are Cookie and Nugget still around?
No.
Yeah, they usually, I know mine at least, maybe 5 years at most, sometimes less than that. But they were pretty inspirational. Do you still have hamsters?
No, we have two guinea pigs named Olive and Daisy.
I loved having hamsters, but that's a whole other story. So what made you think of giving these hamsters personalities and adventures? And can you describe, like, what Cookie and Nugget were like, at least in comic form?
In comic form, Cookie and Nugget were... Cookie was the more reasonable one, and Nugget was just kind of like the one more laid back, more chill. In the real world, Cookie was the dominant one and Nugget was the smaller one, and they fought a little bit.
Very neat to make them into, it'd be really relatable. So you how did you create the one that was honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh? How did you go about making it?
I kind of thought about their origin story for a while. In fact, I started writing it not in comic book form, but just in book form. But I never did finish it. So I figured, hey, I could do that again. So I kind of had it mapped out in my head, although I kind of need to actually get it on paper.
The storyboard. And then did you do the drawings on a tablet? Were they freehand? Or how did you create those?
So during the summer, I had a comic class. And they gave us, at the library, and they gave us these really cool materials. Like, they were, I don't know if you've heard of, like, the blue pencil, like, photo blue pencil. Like, they draw it, and then when you scan it, you can't see it.
Yeah, those... I'm really happy to hear the very light blue, right?
Yeah.
That is kind of it is invisible to photocopiers and scanners. I was looking all over for one of those the other day and couldn't. I thought I had one and I couldn't find it. So that would let you sort of draw outlines or places. And how did you make the actual photos that you did want to appear or the art that you did want to appear?
Really, I should have just taken a regular pencil and drawn it first. But I didn't do that. I used a pen. Fortunately, I had a little whiteout pen, so I could, if I made a mistake, I could easily erase it.
Well, it's cool to be able to do that all freehand. And you mentioned you're a music major at Kappa. What do you play?
We play a lot of orchestra pieces.
What's your instrument?
Violin.
Well, you're really multi-talented. Do you have thoughts for what you want to do after high school?
I really don't know.
It's a little early to figure that out. Well, Rocco, you wrote a string quartet in F minor, and I don't think I've ever met anybody that's written a string quartet. I don't even know how you start. Tell me why you chose to do this and a bit about the process.
Yeah. So one of the things me and Lucia have in common is we're both violinists, and we both did the instrumental music program there. So I have a lot of those kind of influences as well. But as a string player, I've always kind of just been fascinated by the dynamic between all the different string instruments in a piece like that, and how they all, you know, they play off of each other, but they also all have to do their own individual things. It's no fun if everybody's playing the same line, you know. And so, you know, I listen to a lot of that and I consume a lot of that kind of thing in my free time. And so just for fun, sometimes I'll mess around I use music software called MuseScore, a free software that I found online. And so sometimes I'll just mess around with that. And oftentimes, at least with my workflow, I like to create lots of these little moments, these little pieces where I'll say, okay, this sounds really good. I like how this like isolated thing sounds. And then I'll go off and I'll write something else. But then I'll have all these little pieces. And sometimes they're all, you know, contained within a single key signature. Sometimes they're just, you know, whatever. But I'll go back to them later and I'll say, ooh, this would work really well with this piece that I did.
How many measures are these pieces? I mean, I'm sure they vary, but are you talking like 8 measures or?
Yeah, it just depends. Sometimes it'll be like a little 8-measure phrase that I put together. Sometimes it'll be like this, like, you know, like a page of music that I'll just sort of have and think, oh, well, this will be good to come back to someday.
That's fascinating. So you've got these blocks of music and then you compose using the blocks or bridging the blocks. And that sounds to me like a way you will not lose sight of something that comes into your head that you don't want to lose sight of, yet you also don't have to use it immediately too. You don't have the pressure of using it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about this kind of method that I haven't come up with, but I sort of take advantage of, is that I'll hum a melody to myself in the shower and I'll go, that's great. And if I remember it in time to, you know, by the time I get to my computer, I'm able to write that down, you know, mess around with it a little bit. And then I can say, okay, I'm going to put this in my back pocket for later.
That's amazing. August Wilson used a similar method in writing his plays. He would hang out at places, and when he heard people saying something that he thought was particularly, just a neat way of expressing something, he would jot it down. And my understanding is he sort of either filed them or tacked them up on a wall, but he would use those phrases in some of his plays as just a way to get the dialogue to be very authentic. And I've never heard anybody composing the way you just described. So what motivated you to do the string quartet?
I mean, I don't know. It's a combination of factors, you know, mainly because I play one of the instruments that would be, you know, sort of contained within one.
Yeah. So what parts are in the quartet you wrote?
For this, I used just a typical string quartet sort of arrangement. So there's 2 violins, a viola, and a cello.
And I have no idea how you would create a score. Do you start with one of the violins and then write what should come along with them? Or what's that process like?
For me, at least, it varies often. Sometimes I do start with one line and I'll write like this, just a standard, like a melody that I'll try to go along and harmonize with the rest of the instruments. Sometimes I'll have this like chord in mind and I'll structure this whole section around a specific sort of harmonic sound. I find myself often doing that more, where I'll have this progression of chords that I really like, that I say, okay, this would sound really good if I use these to sort of, you know, and I played around with this sort of this feeling.
Do you ever have trouble getting the sound out of your head and onto the staff?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's one of my biggest struggles sometimes, is just actually getting it out of my head and knowing, okay, I can hear it, but where is it? Where does this go on the staff here? You know?
Yeah, how do I make that happen? Lucia, I'm curious, have you played this string quartet piece? I know you're a violinist. Were you involved in playing it at all?
No, I have not played any of his pieces. So I might want to someday.
Yeah. So you recorded this piece?
So for this, unfortunately, I didn't. The recording that I submitted was just a straight MIDI recording where, you know, I messed around with some of the mixing and mastering of the instrument's sound directly in the software, but I didn't mess with it too much.
Yeah, that's a demo type of way of approaching it. You may be familiar with MIDI as you're listening, but it's musical instrument, digital interface. It's almost like a synthesizer, except usually the notes are very authentic, so you can create something almost as good.
Yeah,
is live music for demo purposes. That had to be a lot of fun. And MuseScore,
MuseScore.
I haven't heard of. I'm going to look for that. I know of a few others. Have you done other things like this and composition-wise?
Yeah. So this isn't the first quartet piece that I've written. I've done several just over the past several years, obviously, you know, not necessarily the greatest pieces, but, you know, I've been working on sort of my craft, I guess, is a way to put it. I submitted a piece last year, I want to say another string quartet, and I think I also placed that year as well. So definitely not the first piece.
If you're just joining us, that's the voice of Rocco Tobel, who is here, and his sister is here too, Lucia Tobel. They're 18 and 13, respectively, and in addition to being siblings, they have in common the honor of being honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh in its Teen Media Awards. Rocco created a string quartet, and Lucia created Cookie and Nugget. I was looking for their names. A comic book starring the hamsters Cookie and Nugget. You're both very creative people, and I'm curious, and it might be hard to put into words, how do you practice your creativity, or make sure that spark stays with you? I don't know if that's answerable, but there are some people who are wondering, where are you getting your ideas? How are you keeping track of them? Rocco kind of answered it a little bit, is that he's paying attention to his thoughts as they come to him. Lucia, do you have any secrets or ways that you try to make sure you just leverage your original thinking when you can?
I have a pretty wild imagination, so it's not really that hard to come up with ideas.
So you can just sort of see something? Do you get inspiration from anything in particular? Obviously, the hamsters.
Well, yeah, the hamsters, and not really anything in particular. I do a lot of drawing on assignment worksheets. I do a lot of cats. I'm sure my teachers are like, what the heck is this?
What's with all the cats? Do you have cats?
No, we have the guinea pigs.
Just the guinea pigs. Or not just the guinea pigs. The guinea pigs are fine. I shouldn't say just the guinea pigs. Solely of the guinea pigs. Do you have advice for people that wish they were as creative as you are?
Keep drawing, keep writing, get wild ideas, get them down on paper.
Just keep going. And would you say, similar, Rocco, it might not be music, it could be any creative endeavor?
Yeah, definitely. Just trying to, definitely just trying to sort of get it on paper, and having that, I think, is very, at least for me, very crucial in my process.
Oh, excellent. And you chose not to study music yet, at least you're still trying to figure it out. Do you have other thoughts about majors? Freshman year, it's so hard.
Yeah, and I'm trying with my classes at least to sort of keep an open mind, try a lot of little things, see what sticks. Took an intro to dramatic arts class this semester, and I found that to be kind of, you know, interesting, because that's not something I studied at Kappa.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's really fun to have both of you here. And is there anything else either of you would like to say that I didn't get a chance to ask you about?
Nope.
Not particularly.
Well, thank you. Just terrific to have you both here. And you can learn more about their work at the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards website. CarnegieLibrary.org is the starting point to go to their website. Rocco and Lucia Tobel here, and the Tobel family, I'm sure, is really proud of both of you.